Hi, this is Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, and I'm here today with David A. Warner. Now, David's got a fascinating story that he's going to tell you in a few moments, but I want to give you a little bit of information before I let David tell his story. David is a person who had an out-of-body experience a while back that changed his life. And like I said, he's going to tell you that story, but ever since then, he's had a change of mind, a change of heart. He's a very open person now. He donates a lot of his time to hospice to work with dying people. He also, along with his wife, works with students to help them learn English, and they work with charities. So a very giving, very wonderful, very generous person now. But this all started when he had his first out-of-body experience, which was a bit shocking for him. So these days, he has a website, invisiblelight.us, a lot of information about out-of-body experiences, a lot of experiments on there, a lot of radio interviews he's going to have that are posted on there, a lot of videos. So the website invisiblelight.us is a great resource. I encourage you to check it out. And right now I want to bring in David. And David, how are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing great.
David, why don't you jump right in with your story, your fascinating story of your first out-of-body experience.
Okay. Well, it all started back in 1987 when I was visiting my friend, staying over his house, and this was in Detroit, Michigan. It was roughly, June, July, somewhere in that neighborhood. So it's like really hot. My friend didn't have air conditioning, and here I am at his house. We're playing guitar, music, jamming, everything, and then, you know, towards the evening, gets a little cooler, we start to wind down. And as I kept on playing the guitar and practicing, my friend decided to do some reading. So the book that he was reading was about astral projection. Now, please take note, I never knew anything about astral projection leading up to this day, or that day. And when it really grabbed my attention of what he was reading, especially at the front of the book cover, it was a woman who was semi-naked, and she was in her physical body, but also floating out, where you could see a spiritual apparition, like a etheric image of her coming out of her body, which was naked. So the first thing I think of is my friend's reading something that's like adult magazine, like Playboy or what have you. And then with great interest, I asked my friend, Matt, what are you reading? And it's like, hey, share what you're looking at. And my friend kind of chuckled and said, no, this has nothing to do with what you're thinking. I'm like, darn. And I'm like, okay, what are you reading? And then he started explaining to me about astral projection, about out-of-body experiences that we as human beings are spiritual, that can experience this sort of level of consciousness by shifting our awareness into a spiritual body, which is called the astral body, which is commonly known as astral projection. Right then and there, with him explaining this all to me, you know, I sat the guitar down, and I was just, you know, just complete awe for hours of him expressing the different things, the components, the different methods, the techniques, validations, the scientific, you know, theories and the skepticism behind it. I was just pulled in because of the interest. I just wanted to know somehow, some way, somewhere, I just had to know if this was real or not. And then my friend Matt took his time explaining to me that these experiences of his that he's been pretty much, we've been friends for like 5-6 years growing up through junior high, high school. He never expressed this to me, and we were very close. And to come to find, here we are in college, and now he's opening up these experiences that he had and now expressing to me about astral projection. It just really kind of just really, you know, shook me that night, that day, to explore and to find out for myself, literally, if the out-of-body, you know, experience, the consciousness, was real or not. And I pursued it avidly, 24/7. I lived it, breathed it. I studied as much as I could possibly with reading techniques, you know, consulting with my friends, family members who thought I was just like way out in left field on this one, talking to my local, you know, minister. You know, I was at work. I'd be talking to customers about this. I was just driven wholeheartedly and passionate to find out if it was real or not. I just, something inside me ignited, and I wanted to know. So I had my first taste of that experience, of the out-of-body experience, a couple of months later. And it was almost like training for a full marathon, because I lived it, I breathed it, I slept with it, everything, and I had my first experience 2 months later. And literally after that, 20 years later, I'm still on fire with it. And I like being able to share my experiences to help others, if it's through hospice work, if it's through my website, if it's through the book that I'm working on currently called Invisible Light. It all really well rounds me spiritually. And as my religious upbringing as being Christian, it just makes me a little bit more wide open and understanding how things work behind the scenes, and trying to make a positive impact in the world. That's what has helped me of learning the out-of-body experiences and going back to that day and really thanking my friend Matt for, you know, opening me up to it.
Well, that fact that you are a Christian is going to be fascinating as we get into this conversation, this interview, because so many of our listeners are Christian or do have a strong religious point of view, and they're wondering how astral projection balances with that. So we'll get into that in a little bit. What I'm wondering right now, David, can you tell us, now I know your story because I've heard it and I've read about it and I've heard it from you, but can you take us through your very first astral projection experience? Because I understand for you it was a little bit shocking.
Yeah, it was definitely shocking. It was a wake-up call. It was like being hit with like 1,000 volts of electricity all at once and not realizing what happened and being stunned for minutes, and then you know, waking up to that reality, being hit hard. You know, I had my first experience. And, you know, it's one of those things that I was not expecting. Going back when I first learned about it, now, mind you, you know, I like I said, I lived it, breathed it, sleeped. I read as much as I could possibly do, and I kept tracking everything through documentation, through journals. And, you know, going into the 2 months that, you know, I started to become real kind of skeptic a little bit about it. You know, I'm wondering, you know, maybe this is, you know, my friend's, you know, in my friend's mind, he's just crazy. You know, he's either smoking some real good drugs or hiding that stuff from me. They have those types of experiences. But, you know, I was still driven to pursue it and to see if it was real or not. And I remember one day, it was actually on a Sunday, my parents and my brother at the time, that we were all living together in Garden City, Michigan, they were out somewhere about doing their own little thing, and I was the only one that's home. And we had just recently went through some major flood damage, so we were pretty exhausted because we had to do a lot of cleaning in the basement, blah, blah, blah. So, in a nutshell, all I remember is that they took off, and I'm home alone, and I was really tired. And at the time, I was reading this book, very fascinating book, and I still have it, and I still read it from time to time. Very well written by Janet Lee Mitchell, Out-of-Body Experiences, the Scientific Methods, and proving the actual OBE does really exist. And a lot of different authors that she quotes, and I was just so, you know, if I am driven on a certain subject or something that I need to learn or practice or what have you, I am just driven to the core to where I gotta know. So with this book, I couldn't put it down at all. I was so interested in it. It was exciting. And it's just one of these books that I could just burn through it within a couple of days. And to me, I'm not a book reader. I'd rather listen to audiobooks or tapes or videos or movies. I'm just not a book reader. But with this, I was just like, I was sold. So I remember specifically going to my brother's room. And at the time, I was so tired, but I also wanted to read the book. That was weighing on my mind. Read the book, read the book, read the book. But my physical body is saying, no, you're tired, go to bed, take a nap. Behind the whole scene, that's a recipe for being able to put yourself into the trance state, which is the borderline between awake and asleep. And the projectionists are able to identify with that trance state and be able to shift their consciousness from their physical into their spiritual body and experience the out-of-body experience, which is commonly known as astral projection. Now, back then, I didn't know what I was doing. So I accidentally fell into that state while I was drifting into sleep. And with my mind, you know, just that auto-suggestion continuously, I want to read that book. I want to read that book, but I'm tired. I was groggy, but I was alert at the same time, and it was a beautiful recipe to experience that astral projection. Now, what had happened is as I started drifting, it almost kind of felt like I was 100% aware, but not there at the same time, you know, experiencing that all at once. And I remember, you know, the room physically being dark, door was closed, and I'm in like a basement, which is really kind of scary because you can hear things creak and what have you. So it's kind of cold down in the basement. And, you know, I just remember it going from darkness to light and kind of rising up and seeing light around me. And I was really confused. And mind you, throughout the whole course of my out-of-body experience, I did not know what was going on until I came back physically. And with my experience, all I remember is like, wow, I'm alert, but I feel drunk. What is going on? And I remember looking down at the bed, and at the time, I did not see a physical body. I saw like an apple on the bed. And I'm like thinking, what in the world? Where did this apple come from? And it didn't hit me at all. Like, I would have like, hey, light bulb should have turned on. I'm out of body. So from there, I just ignored it. And then I decided, oh yeah, I want to read this book. Hello. You know, I've just been wanting to read this book, continue it, finishing it. And, you know, I just got to that point where that was the sole purpose of me leaving that body was because of that book. So I remember trying to put my shoes on. My hands kept passing through it a couple, two, three times. And I'm like thinking, what is going on here? I was still confused. I just did not realize I was out of body. And I got to the point where I just got frustrated. I'm like, fine, I'm not putting my shoe on. I'm just going to walk across the cold floor. I'm going to feel the dust on the floor, and it's going to be nasty, blah, blah, blah. And I'm going to get this book. So as I started drifting towards the book, my whole orientation, you know, in the spiritual body, the astral body, I was not used to. So I'm kind of like bobbing up and down and kind of shifting left to right and moving like a, like, you know how that little thing that you punch and it comes back at you and it's all around in circles, that punching bag?
Right,
Kind of like that type of, you know, experience. And I just was wobbling, floating in air like that, and I was just so off-grounded, off-centered. I didn't know what was going on. And then from there, as I was almost ready to reach for that book, I started falling backwards, being pulled back to the physical body. Now, mind you, at that time, even though it was like a split second, what raced through my mind was this. As I was falling backwards, is that I'm going to hit the bedpost. My head's going to crack open. There's going to be blood everywhere. My mom and dad's going to come down. They're going to be freaking out, paranoid. They're going to have to get me to the hospital. I'm going to have stitches. Yada, yada, yada. And my brother's going to come home, be pissed because he's going to have to clean up the mess and throw away his bed sheets. all this in one shot. And the reason why I would think of that is because there was a few times earlier when I was younger, I did, you know, I was either jumping on the bed and I split my head open, corner of the table, or I slipped on a sleeping bag, again, went to the hospital, had to get some stitches, and that was going through my mind. And in a lightning split reaction, I was propelled back to the body so fierce, so hard, it was almost like being punched in the face with a baseball bat, like your whole body, one big thrust, just pulled so fast, so quick, and just, you know, the orientation being thrust in there, it just, you know, I blacked out. And then when I had awakened, again, like I said, at the time, I didn't know what was going on. It was just fear at that time. And when I awakened, my heart's racing 100 miles an hour. I'm looking around. It's darkness. Nobody's home. I'm confused. I'm in the basement. It's like one of those horror-type movies that you see. And the first reaction is like, get out of there. So I went running up the stairs, up to the kitchen, down the hallway to my room, and then it hit me. Like, you wouldn't believe that it all processed right then and there that I had my first out-of-body experience. And at the time, it's like nobody in the world could ever say differently that I was hallucinating it, or it was just imagination, or it was a vivid dream. It was extremely powerful, and it just really changed my outlook on life. And at that time, when I was growing up, you know, how I treated different people and religion, and thinking about myself as being a centered person, and everything revolved around me, right then and there, pretty much everything changed to where I realized, hey, this stuff is definitely real. And from there, I just pursued it wholeheartedly for the last 20 plus years, and it really changed my whole outlook on things.
Wow, so you were thrust into it. A lot of people practice, work on it, and they slowly get an arm out or a leg out. For you, it just happened, and you were out, and you thought that you were in your physical body, but this was shocking. Now, how old were you when this was happening?
I would say it was in the age range of probably, let's see, this was 87, probably 19, 20 years old around in that area.
Okay, so you're a young man having this experience, and it's a bit shocking for you, thinking it's going to cause problems and so forth. Very interesting. Now, tell me, you mentioned an apple. You looked back from your astral body and looked back at your physical body and didn't see it, but you saw an apple. Can you explain that?
No, I can't. I just have no, there's no link to it. I don't know why I saw that, you know. Now, who knows? Maybe when the day I die and all those out-of-body experiences that I have, that big question mark, why, will finally come to surface. But, and as for seeing, like, the physical body not being there, again, what I do feel is that I was a little bit higher going into a different sub-level of the astral planes. So, like, as you go a little bit higher but deeper within, you're going to start moving away from physical.
Very good point.
Physical dimensions, physical buildings, parts. You might see past, present, future at the same time. I have had the opportunity to see my physical body, and I have been able to have like a dual reality where I would actually sit down, and I would take my spiritual hand, my astral hand, and I would like touch my face and feel the contours at the same time where I'm having that energy to where I can feel physical, but I also feel spiritual in my hand at the same time. Really cool, but very eerie at the same time, but very cool experiment to try. But in that first experience, I think I was really seeing, you know, past, present, and future at the same time. Or more or less maybe past and present, because still the room and the majority of the room from when I was at the time pretty much was the same, but a few differences.
Okay. And it can be shocking for people to, as you know now, with hindsight, having all this experience under your belt now, but it can be shocking initially for people to realize that the astral world is not exactly a complete duplicate of this world, and there can be some differences, and sometimes mm-hmm. they're a little shocking.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely. It can be because you can catch windows of future and past, and you know, especially those future events, that can be very alarming because, you know, of certain maybe tragedies that are to come, to arrive here. I've had opportunities to see future and been able to validate, you know, those claims in my documents, in my research. And unfortunately, sometimes, you know, I don't have the ability to react to it to prevent these things. I wish I had that energy to be able to prevent stuff, but I think really in the whole grand scheme of things, all of what happens to us, if it's either negative or if it's positive, as hard as it is to learn and to swallow that pill, if somebody's going to die or an experience that it could be like a loved one, you know, walking out of marriage or somebody being gunned down, not that I want to see this, or if it's a birth of a baby, a joyous occasion, or, you know, making it to like 89 years old and all this life that you have, or, you know, we're here to learn, you know, these experiences for either good or for bad, and we just have to really kind of just put on that bravest face and learn as much as we can and just do our best. But in essence of what we do learn, it impacts everybody as a whole living planet. What I do here in my Grand Rapids town in Michigan affects people over there in China or people down in Australia, or it affects you or affects my coworker. It affects everybody worldwide. We're all one and we're all in the same boat, and it's a big ripple effect. And that's what I really learned about, you know, diversity, about universal, and how we all are linked together as one.
Very, very well put. So you've gained a tremendous amount of wisdom starting out from being a kid, a young man, and getting thrown into the astral world, essentially, and now you've grown so much. So I want to delve a little bit more deeply into that. So, David, I understand from talking with you that you have a history of being a religious person. You are a Christian, and so you embrace the ideals of Christian. I myself was a preacher, by the way, for the Church of Christ from 1990 to 1995, so I have a background in it as well. And we always come across this next question I'm going to ask, because talking with people about astral projection and Christianity, they say, well, isn't that against the Bible, or isn't that against their religion, whatever it may be? So how do you deal with that?
It's really never, ever a easy subject, and trying to express, you know, these experiences that one has going out of body, and then when a practicing Christian, very hardcore in their beliefs, you know, state otherwise. Now, you know, I spent some real in-depth time, you know, studying different religions like, you know, the Quran and the Christian Bible and Judaism and, you know, a little bit of Buddhism and, you know, the Indian religion as well. And what I really found, you know, they're all linked together. It's just different ways of, you know, expressing, you know, your love to God, being a good person, and helping others. And, you know, with the Bible itself and being a Christian, when I did approach, you know, the out-of-body experience, you know, that was really some, you know, in-depth, I guess, soul-searching of and trying to find, you know, the question for myself personally, is it against my religion? And is this something that, you know, when I do finally pass on from this physical plane, will I go to heaven or will I go to the other place, hell? And out of so much time with these experiences, I have you know, I'm a very scientific person. I'm very analytical in my thinking, and I have to go by the experience and what it produces. And if you do go through the different, you know, verses, the different scriptures, you know, Christ even says, test the fruit. If it yields good fruit, then obviously you're going to eat from that tree. And if it doesn't yield good fruit, then obviously you're not going to eat from it, and you're going to move on. Now, after 20 years of these experiences, I'm not into trying to hurt people. I'm a provider with my wife. I never, ever, you know, been in any crime, persecuted, never been to jail. Not saying that I have not learned from my mistakes, and I wish there's a lot of things in the world that I could take back. I am, you know, a person that I am still learning. I am not perfect, but I still keep striving every day to try to be the best I can be, and to others, and make a difference in the world. If it's through hospice, if it's doing music therapy for patients, or holding their hands, or reading Bible passages, or if it's taking part in charity work, or if I'm running half marathons, or running marathons itself for different charities, for organizations. So I look at what the out-of-body experience itself, what it has taught me, those elements, and how it has brought me closer to God, and who's also been able to express my experiences to others, and how that impacts them. Like right now, I am trying to help a friend who's in Canada, that her mom is very ill. She's dying of cancer. And from there, I'm just getting a little bit of hope, a little bit of faith, and explaining through my experiences of what I've been able to validate, what I've been able to perceive. You know, that gives that person a little bit more of a sense of relief that, you know, yes, there is an afterlife, and my mom will be taken care of, you know, through God, through angels, you know, whatever. Now, in the Bible itself, there is just so many passages that talk about dreams, about communication from God to the disciple through the different authors of the different books of the Bible. And from there in itself, if we take a look at in our world presently, and I would tell you, I just received a message from God. I talked with God. He told me to do this, told me to do that, yada, yada, yada. Then immediately you would be questioning the authenticity of that. So from there, then you would look at my actions and judge them. So what is he doing positively in his life presently, and how is he impacting the world through his message of what he received from God? And again, we go back looking at the 20 years of what I've researched and experienced, you know, firsthand, to try to be a more, like, you know, like Christ, to be more following him and his message, but also being a lot more open to others and their religions and their faith and their practices too. And so what I'm really getting at here is that if we go back 2,000 years, if these prophets, disciples, experienced that in that time, why not can we not experience it in our time? And why are we so judged so harshly because we received a message from God personally, or we had an experience with an angel? We are very skeptical of that, and we immediately look towards it as, oh, this must be some work of the devil or some kind of evil entity. It's not authentic because it's not in a book of Old and New Testament. Back now, no, it's either New Age or it's pseudo religion or it's part of the devil work. And I'm like, no. Just because of what happened 2,000 years ago and people having these experiences in dream states, trance states, having out-of-body experiences, the way they expressed it back then, I really do feel and I firmly believe that a lot of these experiences took place in trance states and then was documented, and it was either interpreted as a physical one-on-one, full conscious, or in a dream. And it is a legitimate Christian tool as God communicates to us through dreams. I mean, you take a look at a lot of the different authors in the past, like Edgar Casey. He would go into a trance state and he would heal people, local or around the world. And he was a Christian man. God communicated through him through dream states, through trance, to give him that information and that wisdom to heal people. So why are we judging Casey in that time and age as a fraud, as a skeptic, as somebody that would try to go out and hurt people and say he's not a man of God? No, he was a man of God, and he was helping. So I have to really look at the Bible, and as a Christian as I am, and also through my experiences, it enhances my awareness. Some people are fine with just reading the Bible from Old Testament to New Testament, and that's all they need. Fine. For me, again, I'm an analytical, I'm a scientist and a researcher in this field, and I had to have that tangible, physical, spiritual, proof, that energy that I can see this firsthand and how this helps me personally grow and spiritually, and how I can use what I know from my experiences as positive. And if from my experiences, if it became negative and it was affecting people in my life, from family to work just to friends, and hurting people, then it's creating negative energy. But through my experiences for the last 20 years, they've been positive. I'm not saying all of them have been positive, but the end result has catapulted me here to now. If they were negative, then I wouldn't be hearing these little messages from, or experiences that I've had firsthand with angels to take part in becoming a foster parent that I've done before in the past, or having that inkling of, wait a minute here, hospice, that's a calling, or helping, patients in their time of need, of their dying, of just being able to see a smile in their face, that if I'm playing a simple classical guitar song, or if I'm just reading a Bible passage, for me, that all originated from the out-of-body experience and consciousness that I needed personally, that I can bring to the table to help others. So I have to look at it as a Christian and also as a scientist and a experiencer firsthand. Has it enhanced my life and others around me? Yes, it has. So it produced good fruit. If it had produced negative fruit, where it's like, hey, I'm a drug dealer, I'm sending out prostitutes, I'm killing people, I'm doing all this negativity, and I'm just, out for myself, then obviously the energy is negative and it had not produced positive fruit. Anything in life, how we approach it, it's either positive or it's negative. So we have that choice. So through those experiences and what I've learned, and going back to that 1987 in that bedroom, it produced positive fruit to where it gave me the ability to be able to be a little bit more wiser, a little bit more of a humanitarian, and trying to make positive changes in the world. So you can't argue it. You can't say that, well, because of these experiences, you're a hospice person, so that must be the work of the devil. Okay, try again. Because of these experiences, I work for a Christian company. Okay, try again. Because of these experiences, I'm going to be doing my first marathon, 26.2 miles this Sunday, for hospice. Try again. So I have to look at that as a whole spectrum of how it really has brought awareness to me and to others. That's what you got to judge. You got to judge my actions and how this has helped others as well.
Okay, well, that's a very thorough answer, David. I appreciate that. And I'm going to use a little bit of that from now on, the concept of, hey, we are actually good people here. We're not trying to do anything bad here, and astral projections is part of what we do. Now, part of who you are also, in addition to being a religious and spiritual man, you're also a very scientific man. I don't know if everyone knows this, but you are an IT person, so highly intelligent, highly analytical person who understands all the ins and outs of modern technology. So with that side of you, how can you... How do you balance the belief in astral projection? What validation scientifically have you seen for out-of-body experience reality?
Excellent question here. When I first started back in the day, you know, the first thing I started questioning, is it real or not? And, you know, I am a big skeptic about a lot of the things that are out there. And if I keep working on something that produces just error after error after error and I don't get results, then, you know, I had to kind of draw the conclusion, yeah, this is not real or not. And, you know, kind of really kind of chalk it off as, okay, this is not, you know, it's not real. It's not, you can't validate it. With my out-of-body experiences. And what was kind of interesting is, especially the first 2-3 years, I was really on fire. I mean, I literally have about like 20, 30 experiences a month. I mean, almost every day. Once I finally caught on to learn how to project. And it wasn't really until about a good half year after that first experience I started learning about the trans-phase, being able to put myself in. So then I had time to experiment. And when I would try to experiment on hardcore proof validating physical and the out-of-body experience, the spiritual part of it, from a scientific point of view of, okay, we need that tangible proof. Is it real or is it not? My results really didn't speak too highly or proved to me that, yeah, well, okay, I placed this apple over here in the physical world, and I should be able to project, and I should still see either that apple, or maybe if I'm in the astral plane, and I pick up that phone, I try calling myself, or leaving a voice message, I should be able to hear a message, you know, when I come back to the physical world, picking up that, you know, or playing that answer machine back. Well, those wasn't producing anything, and I was looking at it from a different point of view, of a scientific point of view. And it's good, don't get me wrong, it's excellent to test and to validate these. But it wasn't until really pretty much years later, about 10 years later, I decided, okay, maybe I'm going about this totally different. Maybe I need just to let the experiences happen versus trying to force the experiences to happen. And as that did occur, as I let it naturally come to me, then I started seeing the validation. And some of the validations, they might not be big, and some of them, they are big because I was able to capture things on videotape, audio. I've also was able to validate, you know, precognitive experiences. Yeah, those were pretty big. But it's a stepping stone, and it all started with just false awakening. As I will tell you what a false awakening is, it is an out-of-body experience. It's basically what I had on my first experience. It was a false awakening. I was out of body, but I didn't realize I was out and I was conscious. So a false awakening is basically waking up and not realizing you're out of body and you go on about a certain task. So one of my earlier validations was I would be in the trance state. I would false awakening out of body, and I would have my wife coming in the room. And I would be in bed. She would come into the room, open the door. She would look down at me, give me a kiss, crawl into bed, and then we would just kind of like fall asleep. Then immediately, like seconds later, I'm back to physical world, okay, out of that trance state. And my wife's coming into the room. She shuts the door, looks down at me, gives me a kiss, gets into the bed with me, and we, you know, take a nap, fall asleep. So I'm like thinking, what the heck here? You know, did I just experience this? And I've had so many of those experiences like that, you know, different types of experiences, not just, you know, my wife coming in. Like, example, the mailman would be coming like a couple of minutes before my experience would occur. And, or, you know, the mailman would, I would have the experience, and then the mailman would come after that. And then it's like, okay. Or I would find very interesting is that I have three Scottish Terrier dogs, and they're able to pick up that energy. And I've been able to go out of body, and then what would happen is I would go into the area where they'd be in their crates. And I would be playing with them and just, you know, looking at them, and they would start barking. And as they would start barking, now back in the physical world, I would actually literally have this set up with video and audio tape, so that way I could pick this stuff up. And I've been able to prove this. And I would get pulled back to the body because they would awaken me back from the trance state, out of body, coming back in, and then I'd go back. And I would see movements of my dogs on videotape and the audio to back that up. Now, I could tell you, you know, a lot of different variations, a lot of validations that I've had over the years that this is just, you know, it's just not coincidence anymore. It starts to come real. And again, it's one of those things that when I started to give up to the fact of trying to prove it hardcore scientific and let it just naturally happen, that's when I actually saw my best results.
Very interesting, David. Well, thank you for that. That is fascinating. And that really, you know, coming from a scientific person, that lends itself to the credibility of the astral experience and really gives us an insight that not everything is going to be able to be tested like Newtonian physics in the astral world, because we're dealing with something that's of a metaphysical nature. All right. Now, in addition to the idea of understanding that not everything can be measured, I understand from looking at your website, David, that you have actually taken some very interesting measurements in a variety of ways, and you talked about them a little bit already, but I'd like you to talk more about that, more about the actual scientific studies that you have done about astral projection.
Well, definitely. What I feel really is what was missing in the community of the out-of-body experience and not really, you know, brought to light about different, you know, scientific experiments is that, you know, many authors and a lot of people, you know, really don't hit on this is, you know, doing scientific experiments yourself. And what I decided to come up with is that in one particular experiment, which is just absolutely just, you know, blew me away of the you know, the validation of what I came from it. And again, this was all coming from it from, okay, is this going to work or not? I'll just take it as a natural approach and we'll see what happens. And I was able to nail it in one shot. Now, back about 2-3 years ago, and I actually, if you look on my website, I document each journal note as a title so I can archive it and call up on it anytime. It's called The Bravest Face. and has nothing to do with the actual OBE or the experience itself, but it's just a title. So if you're looking online, that's one to definitely look at for validation. I wanted to be able to have three different video cameras. I wanted to have my three Scottish Terrier dogs on my bed at that time, and I also wanted to be able to measure the temperature in the room, and I also wanted to be able to use computer. And what I had did as I was surfing online is I wanted to be able to have a stethoscope up to my heart recording all of this, trying to put myself into the trance state and have that out-of-body experience. Now, that in itself, with all that technology going on and trying to record, literally I say my attempts to actually have that experience took me about like 3 or 4 times that, and this is like over a course of like a good couple weeks to be able to put myself into the trance state. So you could say, you know, I am proficient. I still have my good days. I have my bad days like anything else. So I'm not a master, but, you know, I still do my best to have at least 1 or 2 experiences for the week. So anyway, in the experience, all this going on, all this recording, and it was very beautiful because the experience itself, I was able to see on video my dog's reaction and what occurred. And also, in itself, the temperature of the room was a little different. You know, it was pretty much the same temperature all the way through. But my heart rate did lessen quite a bit during the OBE. So you can also listen to that and that experience because I have it on audio and video. Now, the experience itself, the actual OBE experience, I'm going to be very brief here, is that it occurred in the false awakening state. In other words, I didn't realize I was actually projecting. And like I said, in the beginning of my experiences, I was going at it from a scientific point. But when I actually kind of let go and, or I would be confused that it's a false awakening state, not realizing what's happening, that's where the hardcore proof comes in because it's natural, it's not forced. Well, what had happened is at the time I had woken up in the astral plane, in the astral world, and my dogs were on the bed. They jumped off it, and I'm running after, floating after them, and mind you, I don't know that I'm out of body. So I'm running upstairs, and my one dog at the time, her name is Spirit, she went to the bathroom. She urinated on the carpet. So as I got up to the front upstairs, I saw the dog going to the bathroom on the carpet. I'm like, you know, damn dog, we have to clean this up. And then from there outside, the weather was rainy, it was cold, and I had let the dogs out. Now I went downstairs trying to go back to the bedroom, and I opened up the front door. It's rainy, the same thing. And then I remember being pulled back to the physical body. And the dogs, when I had awakened, they were pretty much still sleeping and, you know, resting. So, not knowing what was going on, I turned everything up, documented everything, looked at the camera, and I saw the different angles of my body, and I saw the different, you know, shots of my dogs, too. And I, during the experience, I could tell within the time frame of what had happened, when the experience actually happened, the dogs did, one of the dogs actually did raise its head and looked around and then went back to bed. Now, I had another dog at the time upstairs, and that dog was making noises rattling the cage. So I found that very interesting. That was on audio tape as well and listening to it. So the next day, to make it very brief, I was trying very hard to produce the OBE. It just wasn't happening. And I was trying to get everything on videotape. And I still had my dog Spirit with me. Actually, you know, Spirit was upstairs along with my other dog, Kaya. She was in the crate. And they were making noises. My other dog, Leroy, he was on the bed. I just couldn't put myself in the trance state. The dog's making noises upstairs. I'm just getting frustrated. So literally, physically, I'm going upstairs, and I'm trying to find out what the dogs are all in a big huff about, and my one dog, Spirit, escaped and started running downstairs. And so I'm running after her, and I finally catch up to her. Seconds later, before I even catch up to her or even saw her, she went to the bathroom downstairs on the carpet. And that, when I saw that, I immediately had that chill run down my spine thinking, oh my God, this happened a day after that experience occurred the other way, but it went upstairs, she urinated on the carpet, and then downstairs, literally, physically, she urinated. So, you know, you have those validations there. Then I go outside, physically look outside the door, it's raining, it's cold out, and I'm like thinking, I mean, how much more validation do you need to have this say it is real or not? What I really stress to listeners that are challenging me on validation, everything, and say, hey, come to my house, visit me, or do this for me, prove it to me. No, prove it to yourself. Do the work, punch the clock, let the experiences come to you naturally versus trying to force it. It's good to be scientific, but you also have to kind of just put the guard down and let it come to you, and it will show you your validations that you seek.
Very well put, and I appreciate you doing all that work and making it available online for everyone. Just to mention again, your website is invisiblelight.us, and what was the particular spot where we go to look at that?
It is in my, I have in a couple locations. On my website, it's broken up into three different areas. My online journals, where people can read about my experiences and listen to them. Weekly experiences that I have, and I document in MP3 format. Depending on the actual experience, if it's like one of those, you know, a scientific experiment, or I'm meeting an angel, or something that's really profound, I will also document it in notes. If it's just a basic, you know, I got out of body, you know, got a few feet, got pulled back, yeah, I'll chalk it up, here it is, here's the experience, I'll label it. But experiences like those that really shine, I will double up on it. There's another area of my website is for statistical tracking. And this is everything from exercise, from the foods I ate. I actually did a 3-year study on foods that I ate. And I was wondering, okay, is there a link? I mean, is that Starbucks Frappuccino going to get me an out-of-body experience? Or is it going to be that latte? Or is it going to be that big steak? Or is it going to be the hamburger? Or, is it my right side? Is it my left side that's going to help me project? I found out it didn't matter what I ate. It didn't matter what I exercised. I still was able to project, and that's it. And that's what I also say specifically when you're starting out, document. And people can use my online Excel spreadsheet as a guide to set up their own experiments, and documenting it as a helpful resource tool. It has really helped me incredibly paint that picture of knowing what are my best hours to project, what are my best days to project, what about my month, what about certain years, all that stuff. Painting that picture and getting that information is so pertinent because now I can say, yeah, on Mondays, it's my good days, and on Tuesdays, it's not my good days. I can tell you exactly when, where, how, what I projected, what were my validations, how long the experiences are. It's a tool to really help identify how to become a very successful projector and keep working at it to see positive results. And the other areas were pretty much just like energy work, you know, the validations, that was a real big one. There's about 50, 60 validations that I tracked through my study for about 3 years that I did with that. So that's one area. And the other area is in the video section of the site where you can listen to some of my journal notes, but you can listen to a lot of the radio interviews and videos, presentations that I've done before in the past. And real good stuff there. And I also had the opportunity to sit down with a pastor of mine from church, Ralph Vonderink, and we talked about religion, and he supported me 100% and said, hey, as long as you're doing it for the positive of good and you learn from it, it's a legitimate Christian tool. Real great information there.
Okay, just a wealth of information. Thank you for that. Now, specifically about technique, our listeners want to learn about technique. What is the swimming technique?
The swimming technique is something that I accidentally, again, a lot of all what I've done, trial, error, and accident. When I first started out with the out-of-body experience, I was trying to figure out, you know, how I was going about this. How was I putting myself into the trance state? What was it? And what I had found is that a lot of times when I awaken in the trance state, I will feel like I'm on, like, water. My back, you know, on the water, and I'm floating. And then I'll think that I'm actually like a log just spinning around, you know, in that water, you know, faster and faster and faster at incredible amounts of speed. And as I just rev up so fast, I spin myself out of body and propel myself into the astral world. Now, it accidentally came to me about 2-3 years ago. It's like, okay, I can explain this to people, but how can people kind of really relate to it in physical terms or physical, you know, tangible, what they could practice? And so I started thinking, well, hey, we have a pool in the backyard, and I was swimming out there one day, and I'm like thinking, do the same thing. Lay on the water and just imagine yourself, and then you actually get that feeling, those sensations, as if you're spinning around in the water, as if you're spinning in the astral body and out into the world. Now, I do tell people, be very careful when you do this. Make sure you're at a shallow end. Make sure that family and friends are around. You never do anything on your own. And make sure that you're up for, you know, that swimming. And, you know, you will be fine. So just, you know, use common sense that, you know, somebody's going to be around there to be there for you. So with that in hand, you know, I found it very interesting how that feeling, that physical feeling, how that related to the spiritual part of it and shifting that awareness into that body. And then just reason why I'm doing that is that I'm walking in, I'm basically shifting that awareness, and I'm securing that spot to where I'm producing that deeper level of that trance and getting into that astral body. And once I know I'm deep within it, and I know I'm not going to awaken up physically, then I can make that escape out of that physical body into the spiritual body. So using that physical technique and getting used to that, then other people, I mean, people can actually feel what that's like in the spiritual part of it, in that trance state, and be successful in projecting.
Okay, very, very well put. And one final question for you, David. I know that you've had a lot of experiences with astral projection, and I want to know, what is your biggest fear? Now, this is during your initial astral projection days. Mm-hmm. What back then, if you can put yourself back there, what at that time was your biggest fear during astral projection? And more importantly, for our listeners, I want to know how you overcame it.
Mm-hmm. I would say, like, the biggest fear is, you know, questioning, hey, is this against my religion? And as I expressed earlier, is that I had to do a lot of soul searching if it is or if it's not. And overcoming it is really educating myself about different religions, about also, you know, the experience itself of going out and, you know, praying to God before and after and saying, hey, thank you for helping me through a good experience. But saying all my experiences were all positive, about 95% of my experiences are positive, but you're also going to have those negative experiences, and you got to experience it. But over the years, it just has proved to me time and time again, it's always been positive, and that's what I see. And that's how I pretty much overcome that part of it. Other little things that I would touch on that, you know, were fears. And I still fear, too, to this day. You know, I'm human, like, you know, the next person. But, you know, going into different areas that are different, you know, not physical, and trying to just being, you know, what I'm going to bring back from it, what I'm going to encounter, you know, the unknown. It can be a little, it can be scary. And going up into those higher levels, for me personally, yeah, it can be scary. I remember my first experience when I wanted to go up to the higher level, I kept backing out time and time and time again, and I bumped into or experienced my first angelic encounter. And, you know, at first, my jaw dropped down, you know, I'm like, pinch me, is this real? But as I progressed and tested the experience, then I was able to rise into the higher plane level, and I tell you, it was a very beautiful experience. So it's those little things of, you know, little trust that, you know, I still am working at. I'm not 100%, but seeing what's up there in the higher realm, it's just pure beauty, and it just makes you want to give more and not to go to that dark side.
Very good. Well, I thank you for that, and I thank you for your wealth of information that you've brought to this interview. Again, David's website is invisiblelight.us. David A. Warner, it's been an honor interviewing you today.
I really appreciate having me on, and I wish you and your listeners, you know, the best, and if anybody wants to get in touch with me, they can always email me. I'm always open. I will answer each email, and, you know, all the success in the world, and, again, let's hopefully we can make a positive impact with, you know, our message.
That is wonderful. Thank you. And I fully embrace that idea. So from Steve G. Jones and David A. Warner, we're wishing you outstanding astral journeys.